Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. This is episode 226. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week, we have an essay for a new segment of Cider Chat called Stories in Ciderville. Stories in Ciderville is an opportunity for writers to share their essays with the listeners of Cider Chat. This particular essay is from Canadian writer and cider maker Ryan Monkman. Ryan's essay is titled Northern Spy. It weaves together both historical fiction and the folklore behind the naming of the apple called Northern Spy. For regular listeners of this year's podcast, Ryan Monkman's name must be very familiar. Only recently, I published a four-part series titled Ask Ryan, and you can find that on episode 220 to 224. In that four-part series, Ryan is answering questions on barrel-aging cider and cider-making techniques. Not only is he a fine cider maker, but he is also a very prolific writer and shares from his heart stories of his family's cidery based in Prince Edward County, Canada, which is in the province of Ontario, on the northern shores of Lake Ontario. I highly recommend that you follow him on Instagram at fieldbird.creates. Ryan sent me his audio version of this essay on May 21st, 2020. When I first listened to it, it brought a tear to my eye. A poignant story of folklore and American history and an apple called Northern Spy that weaves together a tale of the Underground Railroad. I knew immediately that I wanted to publish his essay this week on Cider Chat. But little did I know that only 4 days later, on May 25th, America would be riveted and set aflame due to the viral video of George Floyd dying at the hands of police officers in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as he struggled to breathe while Officer Derek Chauvin kneeled on his neck. This episode is being published on June 3rd, 2020, which is also considered World Cider Day. Usually, I need no excuse to raise a glass and say cheers. But these days are somber times. The U.S. is in the midst of civil unrest, and there is a worldwide pandemic to boot. And that doesn't even take into account all the other daily things that just kind of get in our way. It's not business as usual, and it might feel like it's not going to be coming back for a while. It might feel that way. You might feel at the throes of the worst depth of depression and sadness of your life. You might be looking at this from a candid eye, or it might be hitting very, very close to home. We're all going to experience this moment in time really, really differently. And each one is equally authentic to who you are. Thus, it is my privilege to share with you this essay from Ryan Monkman today on episode 226. May it act as a reminder that we have all been here before through the eyes of our ancestors, and that we do have the ability, despite the fact that we might be going 50 steps back, to always take a step forward. And the mere coincidence that Ryan sent me this essay 4 days before May 25th once again shows me that there is a bit of beautiful, majestic magic and wonder in the world of cider.
This is Ryan Monkman from Prince Edward County, Ontario. And I think every cider maker has a story of the Northern Spy apple. Here's the one I wrote. About 200 years ago, somewhere in upstate New York, a boy ran through the woods. He hid in a bush under a tree. Then, when no one found him, he stood up. He stood up and he grabbed an apple from above him. He bit the apple and spat it out. It was horribly acidic. The boy ran back to town and convinced a friend to take a bite of the wonderful apple. Soon it was a game. Try the apple, spit it out. But the boy's father liked the acid. The two of them walked back to the forest and picked the tree clean. They put the apples in bins, then put those bins in their root cellar right next to the potatoes. Every day the father would have an apple with breakfast. Every day the son would try to sucker a new friend. After a few weeks in storage, the apples grew sweet. The father didn't like them anymore, and the son's game grew boring. So the crate sat, untouched, unloved, next to the potatoes. The boy's mother found the apples in mid-spring. Somehow they still looked like apples and still tasted like apples after months underground. So she took them to a church picnic. There's a tradition in Quaker communities that I like. Speak boldly when the Spirit speaks to you. A neighbor stood up and spoke, and the town listened. That summer, they propagated the wild apple. If you plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree, but the fruit will be different. With each generation, the seed morphs and mutates. The apple changes. If you want to preserve the beauty of a single varietal, you have to take a cutting of the original tree and plant the cutting in the ground. And that's what the town did. They sent a team into the woods to collect the small clippings of the wild tree. Each cut was only 2 inches long. Those cuttings were then slipped into a piece of root from another tree. Then the two were planted together, the bottom half rooted to the ground, the top half bearing identical fruit to the wild tree. Those grafted trees were divided throughout the town. Each family grew a handful, and the church planted a whole orchard. Nothing happened for 8 years, except that the trees grew taller. And taller, and taller. And then one day in May, the town awoke to a bursting of pink flowers. That summer, they saw their first fruit. That fall, they picked their first apples. The boy, now a man, loaded up a wagon and headed south. Then another wagon followed, and another. That winter, the town was empty. The wagons would pull into a new town. The driver asked for the station master, dropped off a whack of apples, and then left without another word. In each town, the pattern repeated. Ask for the station master, drop the apples, leave without a word. When the man's wagon was empty, he returned home, refilled, then hit the road again. By February, the town was empty of apples. That spring saw a surge in traffic on the Underground Railroad. One of the first tastes of freedom was a piece of fruit that never seemed to rot. And cloaked in secrecy, the apple earned a nickname, the Northern Spy.
The greatest conductor of the Underground Railroad was Harriet Tubman. I'd like to recommend then this following book titled An Apple for Harriet Tubman, which will not only discuss her life as a conductor, but also inform readers that she was at one time a Union Army nurse and a scout for the Civil War. And she actually also enjoyed apples. Some little known fact there that maybe you didn't know. This is a children's book written for the ages of 4 to 8, but I really feel it could be an educational tool for family members and certainly for parents to discuss the current events at hand in the U.S. and to understand why the term Black Lives Matter is so important to our fellow Black brothers and sisters. You'll find a link in the show notes to this book, or you could Google An Apple for Harriet Tubman. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Be safe and be kind.